Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. First of all, I have to apologize a little bit for the voice. I am sick. I am going to the doctor later today, so I will probably only get Martha sick. She's the one in my closest proximity here at the table, so she'll be down. She'll be down for no more than 2 weeks, I'm sure. We'll see how that goes. But no, I'm going to go with the doctor. But first, the Boundless Show, because it must go on. All right. Later on, we have Candace here to talk about she's addressing a poor girl, bless her heart, who says she's tried everything she really feels she has and, you know, still isn't dating. And so Candace is going to give some advice and some encouragement on that front. And then our culture segment, I talked to Elizabeth Brown. She's the author of Working Successfully with Screwed Up People. That may not apply to you. It certainly doesn't apply to me, but we all work with those type of people, okay? Well, not you, Martha, either. So,
does it apply to me?
It's those other. No, it doesn't apply to you. Whatever. Well, you know those people that are kind of like in our proximity, like the ones that are on this table.
Yeah, like.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll talk about them later. But she is here. Really some fun insights from her about that. But here we are for the round table. We've got a great group of usual suspects here. Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Hey.
Good to have you.
It's good to be back at the
Boundless
Podcast.
I see you still have the beard.
I do. It's giving me strength.
Does that go off in spring or what? Is there a timeline for it or what?
No. Sometimes I just get inspired to let it grow out.
Okay.
And but then I get tired of it and I'll shave it.
Okay. All right.
I thought you were going to be in the passion play or something.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, nice.
No, but there was one time when I grew a beard and I came home. And my brother, like there was a whole group of my family there. My brother shouted across the room, "Hey, look, it's Jesus."
Hmm.
And I went upstairs and shaved. I was like,
maybe they were just talking about your character.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Oh, okay.
It's my brother. He knows me.
Oh, okay. All right. Chelsea is here. Hey, Chelsea.
Hello. Good to be back.
Great to have you. You do not have a beard.
No, I do not. I shaved it this morning.
Okay. So. It's good. Looking very smooth over there. Okay, well, good thing that later on in the culture we're talking about working, people that you work with. Some of the people you work with are also your friends. But right now we are going to talk about friendships and basically breaking up with people in friendships. Can you do it? Should you do it? Is there ever a time to do it? And if so, how do you do it well? So, you know, there's a song that says breaking up is hard to do. I would say that with friendships, that's probably especially true. Because really, I mean, should you leave your friends? That's pretty rude. You know, I think that there's a lot of, it's weird. I think there are a lot of like biblical contradictions here. Okay. Because
yeah.
You think of, you know, we're called to bear one another's burdens. Iron sharpens iron. But then we're also told that bad company corrupts good character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're told that there are different seasons. The Bible illustrates different seasons of ministry and of life and stuff. And sometimes you have to move on. But do we know and are we discerning enough to know when that is? So I want to just let you guys jump right in and talk about, you know, okay, obviously we asked you to be part of this panel. What came to mind? What was your first thought as how this applies to you or kind of where you've been in this?
Well, I definitely think that I've bared kind of the crux of this where it's, because you always think, I think sometimes there are friendships where they were kind of thinking it in terms of evangelistically or discipleship oriented, where it's like, I'm in this friendship and I'm trying to encourage this person to grow. And that it's not all like everything you do or everything you say isn't like geared that way. But then there's also times where you start to notice, man, certain friends pull me down. And it's either in the conversation or the kind of the, you know, I've had friends where it's like just always bathroom humor. And it just seemed like, okay, I am really tired of just all these jokes, you know, especially if they like are demeaning to people. And so it is kind of this like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Am I just supposed to tolerate that and hope to continue to build them up? And I think that we should probably have tiers in our lives of how close we allow people to be. And so that there are some people that I would call a general friend that I'm interacting with. I see them at parties. I'm doing life with them. And they're there. But then there's also people that I would call my inner circle, people that I let into my heart and let into my life a little bit more. And that's where I'm going to be discerning who I'm going to let really close to me, like who I'm going to share deep things with or, you know, go deeper with or live more intentionally with. And so that's how I kind of bear that that dichotomy, but I don't know if that's the right way to do it.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's interesting because I just came off of Beth Moore's David study a couple months ago, and one of her lessons talked about that, about those tears, and she used it in relation to how Jesus Christ related to people, and he had, there was the 72, you know, and then there were the 12, and then out of the 12, there were the three that he was really intimate with, and then the one, which was the Father, and how really we can pattern, you know, and the different levels of intimacy and what you share and what you, you know, expose yourself to and stuff. So that's good. Good analogy.
I think I used to be very unaware of the way people impacted me and affected me. So like in college, having a lot of different friends, a lot of different groups, and just being extremely candid with everyone, open with everyone, and just recently actually noticing that impact that people have on my attitude. And I'll even come home from work or something one day and my husband will be like, you talked to this person after work, didn't you? Because it just, it might make me more dramatic in the way I approach things or gossipy, and I'll have all these other things to say. And so really just wrestling through, what does that look like and how does that impact him and our marriage in the way that I communicate with him after work or on a Saturday if I talk to some friends or something like that. And so kind of like what Andrew said, of who are those people that you're really going to invest a lot of time in, and if they're negatively impacting you and causing you to, I don't know, talk poorly of others, is that really someone that you want to spend a lot of time with? And just because I like to be really nice and social and be friends with everybody, even just recently I had to make a choice to not do something with some friends because it was like, man, I don't know if I want to spend all evening talking like that or being so pessimistic. Mm-hmm. And like just the way that they talk and conversate, it was just, I don't think I want to do that this weekend. And so making those decisions is hard, especially when you're trying to make new friends and really get to know people. But I really think I've been learning too how to see myself and in, you know, we are the righteousness of Christ. And so if that's true, like, what other people say about me shouldn't necessarily impact me. So I used to try to impress people a lot. And now it's like, you know, if I'm just myself, then true friends will really come my way. And I don't have to fight for them or search for them. And it used to be kind of this, like, trying to impress people and really understanding who I am in Christ, knowing that I don't have to do that necessarily. You know, if I really am who God created me to be, then the right people will come my way. So I guess that's maybe two different things, but it's really helped me discern who do I want to be, and if I am that person, well, the right people, I'll be friends with them and they'll be attracted to me.
Well, I really like what you said about friends having an impact on your attitude and what you talk about and what you think about. Because when we were first discussing this topic, I was thinking, I don't have any friends that are forcing me to go to R-rated movies or friends that are telling me I should shoplift or, I mean, thinking of those big things.
That is so good, Martha. Yeah. That would be a problem.
Yeah. For the day. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's high school. Maybe I'm thinking way back then of how teenagers struggle with this issue, but it can be even those subtle ways of an attitude.
Well, I didn't even notice it until someone, you know, my husband pointed it out. He was like, I can tell when you spend time with certain people because of the way that you act.
Yeah. Well, that brings up a good question, because I think we all come, I mean, maybe we have different styles of gathering friends or of choosing friends. And I think there are some that kind of like organically let friendships develop and kind of just stage of life, people stick to you or whatever. And then there are people I know that will identify a person and they will say, I like that person, I admire them, I'm going to be their friend. And they very intentionally like pursue that person. Where would you say you guys fall in that? And does your current slate of friends reflect that?
I think I'm pretty intentional of, I've noticed people like in my small group before and be like, I am going to ask her to go out for lunch sometime coming up, and I'm going to plan a party and invite my favorite people.
You never invited me to a party.
Sorry, Andrew.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm probably in the balance of those two, because I'm not super intentional. I wish I was more intentional sometimes. Like, I recently made a list of people I went to college with that I want to call and catch up with, because I'm not really good about keeping up with friends that live at a distance, live across the country. And so I think a lot of times when I see friendships that I've had, it's a kind of like, I don't know how that happened. Like, we just met at a party and then boom, we were friends. And it's like, I didn't have to cultivate it as much. But there are times where there've been people who are like, I want to kind of build in this relationship. And usually those are the people that you wouldn't naturally hang out with or are kind of outside your social sphere. And a lot of those are relationships where it's a kind of an iron sharpening iron relationship. There's a gentleman that I get together with probably once a month, and we haven't like officially called it like a mentorship type relationship, but we just get together and just talk about what we're reading and how we're growing. And that's something that I'm like, we're both keeping that going, and it's a good thing, but we haven't like, you know, had to put boundaries on it or say, this is what this is. But we're just, I mean, we're really just friends getting together and encouraging each other. So
I think, like I said, coming out of college only 2 years ago, having a lot of great friends there, and then moving here, getting married, starting a new life, and trying to keep up those friendships. Like you said, distance friendships are so difficult. Mm-hmm. And finding a way to do that while making new friends and not comparing new friends to old friends. And so I've really had to be more intentional about seeing someone at a small group or at church and be like, man, I want to be that person's friend. Because I think before, like when you're in a setting like college, like it happens so naturally, like the people you're like tend to just come around you. But I think there's a more positive side to getting to choose your friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just like naturally letting it happen.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times today, like today, a lot of single people wrestle with changes of life phase and how it impacts our friendships. You know, like I've had probably 5 years ago here in the Springs, I had this great network of friends, people that we would spend time together all the time, just hanging out, kind of like, you know, the hit TV show Friends. I mean, we're just always hanging out and it was great. And then a lot of those a lot of people paired off and got married, and that changed the friendship. And it wasn't, you know, and it's not a good or bad thing, but that just that priority, that phase of life changed. And so now there's a few of us that are kind of like, what happened? Like, we had this great thing going and then everybody got married. And it's not, I mean, and that was a good thing. I actually did a lot of those weddings, but you know, but I do think sometimes we look around and we're like, hey, what happened? I like had this great thing going and now it like it's changed. And then we're back to square one. It's like, man, I need to go find some new friends, you know?
Or people move away. I've had so many friends get different jobs and it almost makes you not want to get to know a new person. Yeah. Are you just going to leave me? Because mm-hmm. It's happened a lot in the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you've consciously made a decision about a friendship, either where it was a conscious decision to end it, to fade it, to transition it, or maybe just situations where like you've made conscious decisions about things you'll attend or ways friendships will play out or just things that you don't want to be a part of that have affected kind of relationally relating to other people?
One of my personal convictions is I don't drink, and it has affected a lot of what I'll do with people. Of, you know, if it's a happy hour on a Friday after work or something, I'm just not interested. And I've even decided recently that if I see a Facebook invitation that it's like, bring your own beer, bring your own whatever, it kind of gives me a clue of what this party is about. And I know I'm probably not going to enjoy myself. And so I might as well do something else that evening. Mm-hmm.
I was very, just to that point, for me, and I grew up like, you know, drinking was totally taboo. And then I've kind of, you know, transitioned into perhaps a bit more grace-filled lens towards that. I don't know, generally. But I was invited to a party once where it was like you showed up and there were just coolers everywhere of liquor. And it was like the whole focus of the party was drinking. And I was like, that is just not okay. And it really bugged me. And I felt like I didn't have a substantive conversation with anyone. It was kind of like the equivalent of, we haven't seen each other in 2 years. Let's get together and watch a movie. You know, it's like, what is the point? You know? So I just thought like, what? Yeah. You know, but yeah, that reminded me of that when you said that, Martha.
Yeah. Because I was surprised by that when I moved to Colorado, because I grew up in the Midwest and things were very, like, basically grew up real conservative on that topic where Christians don't drink. And I came out here.
You've never been to South Dakota, have you?
I haven't. Maybe I driven through. I don't know. But when I moved out here, like, I went to church, met some people at church, and they said, hey, come to this party, and literally got there. And they had these tables of Jello shots. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And it was a shock to my system. And I've kind of had to just manage that. But I agree with you, Martha, that if I go to a party and I can tell the goal is let's get drunk and then see what happens or have a good time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, we can have a good time. Like, I'm a fun guy. I can make fun. You know, I can
Scrabble.
Make some... Yeah, there is always Scrabble, you know.
So. Yeah. Personal favorite.
Yeah.
It used to be that you just went to church functions and had Jello. Now it's Jello shots. So
yeah.
It's kind of the morphing.
Yeah, and I don't think it was an official church function, but it was just church people getting together. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, like Colorado's crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
So kind of back to your original question of having to kind of break off a friendship. I had something a few months ago happen with a friend. We'd been friends for a long time, and we don't live near each other anymore, so it was just a technology friendship, keeping up over the phone, email, whatever. And just some things happened, and I knew it was time to start to separate the friendship, and I didn't even know where to start. Like, do you tell the person it's time to end the friendship now? Because you don't really want to end it necessarily if you still want to be a part of their life, but it was just kind of moving them out of my inner circle, I think. So it wasn't, I guess I shouldn't say ending the friendship, but allowing them to take a step back. And I think it's something that was easier than I thought it was going to be. It was just like, don't call them as much. Maybe don't tell them as much personal information, because some of that stuff was coming back to hurt me in the end. And so sometimes it's just like intentional decisions to make. You know, maybe I won't call them this Saturday. I'll just text them and ask them how they are, if you want to, you know, keep a pulse check on their life and stay friends. But I think sometimes it's smart to move somebody out of the inner circle if they're hurting you or causing you to stumble in any
way. Did your friend notice at all? Like, was there any kind of like, hey, what's going
on? A little bit. And it was just like, you know what, really trying to make new friends and need to intentionally start spending time with some new people who live near me that I can build a relationship with. And it was never like a, hey, I'm doing this because I don't want to be your friend anymore. So maybe I should have been more clear about that. But also having a good conversation about, these are the things that were wrong with our friendship. So I guess we did kind of talk about that and ways to move towards a healthier friendship, because I think it was unhealthy with how much maybe we were communicating.
I think for me, it's come to, I remember one situation where, I definitely am a big fan of, you know, iron sharpening iron, and certainly having that accountability type relationship, confronting, being confronted. But you need to assess whether or not that person and yourself are receptive to that. So if I have friends that are just, you know, I will point something out, or I will attempt to grow along with them or whatever, and they just completely resist any kind of growth or whatever, then I'm kind of like, you know, that's where I'm kind of like, I don't know, maybe I just give them like a waiting period and then they're just done. But I mean, there are just some that they want to persistently complain. They want to wallow in their issues. They don't want to see gospel transformation in their life. They don't want to, you know, grow or be sanctified or whatever. And then it really does come to a point of, and I thought of that in conjunction with, I was telling Martha after a trip to a college recently, a couple girls in a Q&A I was doing asked that about one of their roommates. And she was very much a gossiper, and they were both prone to gossip too. And they noticed that they did it a lot more when she was around, and they tried to talk to her about it. And, you know, she's a believer. And if you're dealing with a believer and she's not even receptive to instruction or rebuke in that sense, then, you know, really it is, you have to remove yourself from that situation and just say, and it's not that God can't reach her at some point or other people can be her friends, but you know, you got to kind of take care of yourself too, I think, a little bit. So,
yeah. And I think sometimes in those situations, we can take a step back without like cutting ties.
Yeah.
You know, and like to say, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, we're going to have to talk less, or I don't know. I mean, I think guys do that without even talking about it or thinking about it. Like we never really define relationships. They just ebb and flow. And we're like, what just happened? I don't know. And I mean, not that I'm not trying to set up guys as baboons, but I think sometimes relationally guys aren't perceptive to what's happening. Like girls are very perceptive of, here's how our relationship just shifted a little bit, and guys are like, wait, what happened? Like, I was just thinking we should get some wings, you know? And so anyway,
that's a good point.
But yeah, and I think another thing to keep in mind is if one of our friends is in Christ, that is an eternal friend. Like, that's somebody who's gonna be in loving community with forever. And so even as we take a step back from somebody, that we still care about them and love them. There's been a lot of times where I've had to have a tough conversation with a friend where I knew, man, like the friend could dissolve after this, you know, like this is going to be a hard conversation to have. And yet prayerfully going in that, like, Lord, let me help you have your heart for them. Like, help me to get to a place where I'm really loving them and it's not an emotional reaction. Because I think sometimes we can Christianize kind of when we're really upset, we've been hurt and we're like, you know, I think this friendship has to go. And it's really, I've been hurt here. And I'm angry, and so I'm going to kind of passive aggressively end the friendship, and it's kind of like, and it makes me feel better, but really, like, I should have sought reconciliation there. So I think that's kind of a place we have to think too, is, am I reacting to something that's happened, or is this, you know, is this really a, I love them, I care for them, I'm going to miss them, but this is the best thing. You know, I feel the Lord leading me in that direction.
Well, I think the flip side of that is totally true as well. Like Martha brought up that idea of, I am not going to choose to invest in you or open up to you because I fear that you're going to leave, you know? And I think, you know, where do you guys feel like, you know, ultimately we have to trust the Lord. We have to get our identity from him. We have to find our source of, you know, true relationship from him. We have to be secure in who we are so that we can then give and receive from other people. But it can become a very, almost an idolatrous thing where, you know, you've put this person on a pedestal, and if they don't meet your needs, if they don't, you know, if you feel like, oh my goodness, they're starting to hang out with that person and they're doing, you know, then it can become very, all of a sudden you just have a tally sheet of how this person relates to you. And I don't know if, I mean, that could be unhealthy too. So
yeah, we were just talking about that, because I think I used to find my identity a lot in who my friends were, you know, who was calling me and asking me to do stuff. And like you said, if they don't call and they call somebody else, and now with Facebook, it's like, oh, I had so much fun with you last night, let's do it again. It's like, wait, what did you do? Nobody called me. What? And it used to just make me anxious.
Remember, that's Martha, because she's going to invite us to our party.
Yeah,
her
parties. Yeah, that's right.
Don't check her
Facebook. I always see Martha's parties, and I'm like, woe is me.
Don't check her page. She's crafting with other people, let me tell you.
It's not Scrabble.
It's Scrabble. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it can really, it would make me anxious, or like I'd get wrapped up in, oh, why didn't they invite me? I need to call her today and see how she's doing, and maybe so that next time she'll invite me to whatever. And really just coming to the end of myself and being like, Lord, no. Like, I find my identity in you. And I think really when I start to understand that and grasp that, you know, we find our true selves in who he is, that I define myself a lot less than who my friends were. And really just, not caring as much about that kind of stuff. Because really, if I'm being myself, then my true friends will want to spend time with me. And if they don't, then maybe I don't need to be friends with them. Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of
mean. Really wise advice. Mm-hmm. I do think that as we think about friendship, the people that are really good friends with Christ will make good friends to other people. Like, people will seek us out. And I think there are times where, like, I've noticed that, like, if you think about your life as a balance of with people, not with people, you know, and I know that being an extrovert and introvert plays into that as well. But I think there's been times in my life where I'm spending too much time alone or spending too much time with other people, and it kind of, my life gets out of balance. And so I think that some of that time alone, we need to cultivate that friendship with Christ, and it actually makes our time with other people, you know, sweeter and better. And so there's been times where I'm like, man, I just feel like some of my friendships are going sour. And really what was happening was I was spending too much time with them, and I needed to make sure that I was, you know, spending enough time with the Lord. And so sometimes that can play into that kind of ebb and flow in that as well. And learning how to do that is tough. Like, how do I pursue friendship with God? And I don't know. That's another podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good. And I think it's a good place for all of us to kind of have a reckoning of sorts, you know, for us to evaluate our friendships. Who are our friends? Could we name them? Do we know? I mean, are they just like friends in our heads?
Oh, no.
I mean, are there ones that, you know, that we're considering our friends, but maybe we are clinging to too tightly, and ones that need to be let go for whatever reason? And is there someone that really, you know, maybe has been pursuing us, or someone that God's put on our heart that we should start pursuing for some level of friendship? I mean, I think that there's always room. I like that idea of, you know, your heart is not finite. You know, you can invite other people in and create space for them. Your time is finite, though. Mm-hmm. So you have to really be wise in that and give yourself margin, give yourself time for the Lord, certainly in a way that is measurable, far beyond, you know, what we're doing in other things, as Andrew said. So let's all do that this week. And, you know, weigh in on the blog. Let us know what you think about this topic. If this is something that resonated, if it's something that was kind of a little wake-up call for you, like, whoa, I need to evaluate my friendships. And let us know what you think. So thanks, you guys.